The first bill that we have up on the agenda is House File 1664, Representative Leader. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm House File 1664, and I believe...
And I will move that for you, Representative Leader, to be before our committee.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, 1664 deals with the East Grand Forks School District on some handicapped access monies, and I have the superintendent of schools from Mr. Anenson. He'll have a presentation for you, if I could do that, Madam Chair.
Welcome. And would you please state your name for the tape?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Walt Anenson. I'm superintendent of schools at East Grand Forks, Minnesota. I'm here today to explain what our request is. As you may recall, the state allowed school districts to levy up to $300,000 in the early 1990s for to get your schools into handicapped accessibility. The initial levy for the East Grand Forks School was in 1992, and with that, during the period from 1992 to 1999, there was a window, and once you made the initial levy, you had 7 additional years to complete the levy. And we started making our schools handicapped accessible. We used about 70,000, actually. We used 70,339 of the $300,000 amount that schools could levy. And then in 1997, our plans were interrupted during the flood, and some of the schools that we had started were completely demolished and those rebuilt. But we have the senior high school, which had a plan to put a elevator to go to the band and choir room, which is on the second floor. The plan was there to do that. However, that got put on hold when we were in the process of rebuilding the other schools that were completely demolished. As you may recall, 3 of our schools were demolished and rebuilt. Then, in 1999, that levy authority expired because of the 7-year window, and that was right during all of this building time. I took over as superintendent in 2000, and my plan was to build up the capital expenditure fund so that we could do this ourselves. The cost for an elevator is about $150,000, and we were building that up. However, because of roof concerns and boiler concerns, we've used up the money in our capital fund, and we have a couple of students that are in a wheelchair that need to get to the band and choir room. In the meantime, we have moved those down into regular classrooms, and it's just not working. We need to figure out a way to get that elevator, and I would ask that we have the levy authority of the remaining money. If we had used it prior to 1999, we could have levied locally the $150,000. But what I'm suggesting now is what I'm asking is to give us the authority to levy locally, and the way the bill is written is up to 5 years, because I want to keep the levy as low as possible. If we levy from 3 to 5 years, we would be able to have minimal effect on our local taxpayers.
So, Superintendent Anenson, we just need a number from you. Are you going to do it over 3 or 5 years? And we can plug in that number as far as the levy that we would have to carry.
And possibly there I made a mistake. As I visited with Representative Leader and Senator Stump, I told them I would like to be able to spread it out over a 3 to 5 year period. Mm-hmm. Representative Leader's bill is for 5 years. Senator Stump's bill is for 3 years. And I guess it would vary depending on what happens with other parts of our levy. For cash flow purposes, I would like to do it in 3 years. If, however, our levy were to increase for other reasons in our school that we're not in control of, then I would try to spread it for 5. As a a superintendent of 25 years, I found if you're able to keep taxes relatively level, your local taxpayer is much happier. So that is my plan.
So, Superintendent, you're really asking for about $150,000
in levy authority for our district, yes.
And so we just need to make a decision about whether we do 5 or 3 years. I think that's going to have to be your call.
Okay. Representative Leader said Senator Stump would agree to the 5. So 5 would give us the additional flexibility to keep the taxes as low as possible.
Right.
When I figured what the impact would be on an average home like my home, if I were to spread it out over a 3-year period, it would be about $15 a year for 3 years on the evaluation on my typical house.
The only other question I have, we will do it for the 5 years. That'll give you the maximum authority, and then that will also give us direction as to how much we carry for our levy cost. The other issue, do you plan on using the rest of that authority?
No.
Okay, so this would be it.
It would be $150,000 maximum of the remaining dollars.
This is a question to fiscal staff. Do we need to put that in the bill to make it clear that it would be the $150,000?
Madam Chair, you don't have to, but if you want to specify how much cost you can carry, then you could limit it to the $150,000, okay. And that would clarify the how much cost that the bill would have.
Representative Leader, would that be all right with you if we put the $150,000 in there? Is this specific?
Madam Chair, I believe that would be correct. Are you assuming this is going to be a standalone, or are you going to put it in the omnibus bill?
No, we'll put it in our omnibus bill. We can do it either way for you, but I'm expecting that you know, some of these they'll be all put together. We're going to have to carry a cost for some of these levies anyway. I think if you go separate into Representative Abrams' committee, you might get chewed up.
Right. No, that's fine. I just was curious.
I mean,
that'd be fine.
You know, he can be kind of tough.
Put the amount in, $150,000, Madam Chair.
Okay. And is $150,000 a good estimate? I don't want you to end up with, you know, it's going to cost you.
I believe so. We have contacted an engineer to get an estimate, looking at our school, looking at the site location, and $150,000 was the estimate of the engineer.
Okay. All right, then. I would move that on line 11, after the word levy, put up to $150,000 of its remaining. Okay, is that clear for everyone?
Yep.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposition? The amendment is adopted. All right, thank you. And
Madam Chair?
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a few questions. First to Superintendent or to Representative Leader, why would the flood have ceased the levy? I'm missing the connect here.
Okay, that was before my time at the school, but when I asked about it, they said that the plan was to get all of our schools into compliance for the handicapped accessibility. When the schools were destroyed, they were completely destroyed, and just about all of the effort went into quickly rebuilding to get those temporary classrooms up, to get the schools built so we could get back to school. We had to build 3 new schools, 2 elementaries and a middle school, in a very short period of time, and that was accomplished from the spring of 97 through the end of to the middle of the 98 school year.
Madam Chair?
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Superintendent. I guess I understand that, all right, but I don't understand why you would cease levying unless, and maybe staff can help me here, is there some caveat that says when you levy the dollars, you have to spend it within that same year it's levied? Couldn't they have kept the levy going? And that might be a question.
Madam Chair and Representative Biskins, the excuse me, the Disabled Access Levy was a there was an eight-year window that districts could levy up to $300,000. And so if they didn't make that levy by 1999, was it 99 was the last year? Oh, right, from when they did their first year. But if they didn't complete their levying within that eight-year window, then any authority they had to make that levy went away.
Madam Chair?
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Crow, I guess I understand that, but was there some caveat where they couldn't bank the levy dollars? Couldn't they have continued the levy to levy to the full amount even though they weren't expending those dollars immediately? Would that not have been possible?
Yeah. Madam Chair and Representative Viskins, they could levy an amount for approved projects, and so if they didn't complete those approved projects, then they would have had to make an adjustment the following year to basically give back the levy to the property taxpayer.
All right. Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of other questions, and this might be to Mr. Crow. Mr. Crow, is this an equalized levy?
Madam Chair and Representative Viskins, no.
No. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Representative Leader.
If I may respond to Representative Viskins, the entire city of roughly 9,000 people only had 27 houses that weren't affected by the flood, so they lost their whole tax base for practically 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a significant disruption in their ability to do this. Thank you, Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next bill is Representative Newman. Is he here? No? All right. Oh, he's gone. Right?
No.
He's late. Okay. Representative Stang, you want to come on up, Ben, and present your bill? While Representative Stang's coming up, I think we have some students in the audience today. Would one of you like to stand up and introduce yourselves and tell us where you're from? You have a teacher or a student that wants to do that? Moundsview ALC, welcome. Today is the ALC day at the Capitol, so you'll probably see, in addition to our college students walking around, you'll see a lot of our alternative school students walking around, and we hope that you're having a great day. You want to introduce yourself, too? Great. Oh, okay. Are there other ALCs represented? Great. Glad to have you here. Well, we're talking about some kind of technical education funding issues today. It's some districts have to have permission to transfer some money internally within their funds, and so there are some districts up here asking for some authority to do so. Representative Stang, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's nice to be before this committee. House File 1698 is a fund transfer of $150,000 for the Kimball School District. I have Scott Thielman here from the Kimball School District. He's the superintendent. Madam Chair, one of the reasons we have this bill before you is we received some conflicting information from the Department of Education, whether or not we actually needed legislation, if the school could do this without legislation. There were one person said they could, one person said they couldn't, and so we thought we would do the legislation and ensure that the school district could do the transfer. And I have Scott Thielman here, as I said, and he can lay out better what's happening at Kimball and what the need is and the reasons for the transfer.
All right. And there is no fiscal implication to this because it's an internal transfer. Any questions? Okay. Representative Biernet, you have an amendment that you wish to hand out.
Madam Chair, and the reason I'm proposing this amendment, and we'll have a further discussion on it later on when the bill goes before the committee for further discussion, it just seems to me that it's a strange process where a school district has to come begging to have its own money transferred from one fund to another fund. So I had Mr. Strom prepare a an amendment that would actually clarify this issue to allow the school district to use this stuff for any other purpose. Maybe, Mr. Strom, you want to explain exactly what this amendment does.
Madam Chair, Representative Biernat, and one technical issue, when I was printing this out for you, I hit the shade instead of the strike mode. So what shows up here in the shaded text should have been stricken on this, but instead of reprinting all that paper for you, that's just a drafting mistake I made there. But let me tell you what the purpose of this amendment is. Right now, school districts are required to reserve the money in their operating accounts for capital. That money can only be used for the list of expenditures that's listed here in Subdivision 14, Expenditures 1 to 24. So there's a whole range of things that school districts can spend operating capital money on, but it has to be reserved and spent on just these purposes, and it can't be used for general purposes. What Representative Biernat's amendment would do would allow any money in the operating capital accounts to be used for general fund expenditures at the discretion of the school district.
All right. This is a huge policy change. It's something that I think we need to think about carefully. I get frustrated with districts having to come before us to do these internal transfers because they don't cost anything and they should be able to do it. I'm not so sure I would be willing to say that districts shouldn't reserve their capital or have a capital reserve fund. Is there some other way we could do this, Representative Biernat? Maybe just say that for purposes of transferring money out of their capital, they can do it without.
Madam Chair, I was kind of surprised by the because I thought this was a very simple amendment that Mr. Strom, but it seems like it becomes more complex, and perhaps maybe we could do this in terms of just the idea of transfers after the initial expenditure or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is it's still the school district's money. They should be able to spend it accordingly, and if they exhaust this list, they should be able to use that.
Madam Chair, Representative Biernat, in terms of the drafting of the amendment, we certainly could have just repealed Subdivision 14, and that would have essentially undesignated capital money, and that would be very simple in terms, and short. But the goal of drafting it this way is to show people that there is this list of things that's used there. The other thing you could do is you could create an account that's, in terms of accounting purposes, if the accounts, generally speaking, if it's reserved, we want it to have the properties of being a reserved account. So we don't generally want a school district to reserve money, unreserve it, and reserve it again at their discretion without some purpose for the reason for the reserve. But we certainly could draft it and say that a district may make one-time transfers out of that account, although the practical effect of that then is the money isn't really reserved, and all the bookkeeping that goes with the reserve is probably unnecessary then. You could add to the list, for example, you could go to after clause 24 and say that it'd be for a purpose, any other purpose designated by the school board through a vote of the board, and that would be more limiting on it. But again, I think if the general purpose is not to have that money in a reserved account, that we don't want the reserved account at all, that we want it just as general fund money that the school board has control over.
Madam Chair, I think your point is well taken, that you want to have this considered carefully, but I guess my preference would be so to adopt this amendment so it's before us in a formal form, so it'll come back to us when we cover the full bill, and so we can address all the issues and think about them. In the meantime, I just don't want to forget it, because as we leave here in April or May, we'll forget about all these transfers requests that came before us, and we need to deal with some kind of mechanism to at least limit the number that have to come here.
Representative Abler.
Just a question, Madam Chair. Is the source of the money in this capital account from a levy, or is it a general fund dollar?
It's general fund dollars.
So it's a...
Madam Chair, last year the legislature equalized the operating capital, so it's a mix of aid and levy. It's primarily aid, and then there are also certain instances, for instance, in the case of the Kimball situation, where I believe their bus purchase money from years ago that was in the reserve account, I believe that was transferred into the operating capital account, because that's where you put it, or one of the places you can put it when you close out the bus purchase account. And bus purchase money often was from a levy, so I'm not sure the original source of their particular money, but for most districts, the bulk of their operating capital money is state aid, not levy.
Madam Chair, it's a levy, but it's an equalized levy.
Madam Chair, Representative Abler, yes, I think the current mix is about $160 million of state aid and about $40 million of levy, or somewhere in that proportion for the operating capital.
So, Madam Chair, so it's a levy the school board had a vote on. The school board had a vote on the levy, but it was okay.
Representative Abler, the school board doesn't have to specifically vote on that levy; just adopt it as part of their truth and taxation process. So they don't have to have an individual separate vote on that. But when they adopt their truth and taxation levy amounts, it's a part of that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Representative Sikora?
Generally, I would just kind of want a clarification from Mr. Strom. This money is intended to be for building maintenance issues, that kind of thing, correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Sikora, yes, according to the current statute, those 24 purposes mm-hmm. that are listed that are in the shaded area here mm-hmm. are the current purposes, and most of those have to do with facilities maintenance and upkeep.
So if it were to follow then that we gave blanket ability to use money in this fund, it would just mean that there would be more and more deferred maintenance issues in school districts, correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Sikora, I think that's been the argument in the past about why this money should be reserved, that if the district didn't have the legislature telling it to reserve it, that it would spend more of that on operating purposes and less on building maintenance.
Thank you.
Representative Biernet, here's my suggestion. I think this is such a big policy change that I would prefer that it not be an amendment to a fund transfer that a small district is requesting. I think it would be unfair to them for that because it is a policy question. If you would want to draft legislation and submit it, be more than happy to hear this and have a full discussion of it. I'm a little bit nervous about. I agree with you that I think it's silly for us to be doing these internal transfers, and we should be trusting the districts. But to go as far as saying they shouldn't have a reserve, I know what will happen in a few years. It'll be there's no maintenance money left because we, blah blah blah. So, But I'd like to have that discussion and see where the committee would like to go on it. So if you would,
yes, ma'am. I'll draft a bill.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Representative Biernet.
I withdraw the amendment.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is for the superintendent. And my understanding is that you'd like to take this capital money and put it into your general right. fund to help with the potential for SOD, or you're tracking down that road, and this would help your fund balance use for general expenses, payroll, and such.
Yes, sir. Well, it wouldn't be for payroll. We would like to keep it into the undesignated unreserved fund balance in order to help us offset energy rate spikes or unforeseen expenditures that come up through the year. If you don't have undesignated unreserved fund balance, you're going to dip in and continue down that path, as you said, into SOD.
Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I understand that, but it's the same pot of money that everything is paid, whether it's salaries, whether it's heat and lights, whether it's whatever.
Yes, sir.
My question additionally is, do you currently still own your buses in your district?
No, sir.
Superintendent.
No, we do not.
Okay, Madam Chair, so you're contracting?
Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, so is there any other need that you would someday have to replenish these capital funds, or are these sitting in an account that would probably never get used for anything else?
Superintendent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have $180,000 in that account. We're asking for $150,000 to be transferred into the general fund, and we would keep $30,000 in reserve for minivan purchase, any other district vehicles that we may have. We can use that account to purchase those vehicles, but that we did think about the future and kept $30,000 in that reserve account.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Demmer. Did you have a question? Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Representative Stang. Oh, we need to move it. Oh, what? I don't know. I will move your bill for you, House File 1698, to be before our committee for consideration for the K-12 omnibus bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. The last bill on our agenda is Representative Newman. Is he here yet? Okay. I'll tell you what. I wonder if someone, is there someone who was on the bill with him? Is there someone from the Cloud West here? Why don't you guys come on up, and I will move the bill for Representative Newman. I'll move House File 1693 to be before the committee for consideration for the K-12 omnibus bill. And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves for the tape and explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Tom Hebert. I'm Superintendent of Schools in the Cloud West, and I have with me our Vice Chair this morning, Tim Olson. And is it okay to proceed?
Go ahead and proceed.
Okay. I did have some handouts I believe I have on the table. And while they're going around, I will begin with our request of a fund transfer, very similar to what has been discussed regarding a shift of funds from our capital account to our operating fund of $200,000. We currently have $477,000 in our capital reserve account right now. That was developed mainly in 1997 when two districts of the Broughton School District and Stewart School District consolidated. There were some fund transfers that took place at that time with the idea that there possibly could be some use from that capital account for some building purposes and refurbishing some potentially newer buildings that did not come to be. In the meantime, the district has an SOD at this time. We currently have a $278,000 deficit. Last year we did offset the deficit by $40,000. The main purpose of our fund transfer would be to reduce the SOD debt and to help with the SOD debt and to reduce cuts. So with that, I would just briefly go over a couple of handouts.
All right, go ahead.
There's a lot of figures on here, and to go into the whole detail in depth would be very time-consuming, but I did highlight some points on here that would help you understand potentially where we are at. With the two handouts in the upper right-hand corner, there would be one that says without transfer and one that says with $200,000 transfer. I'll start with the one that says without transfer. And under the year 2005, there are two highlighted items in there of $100,000 apiece. Those items, the one that's listed at the top towards the page that's listed under transportation, that was listed in our statutory operating debt plan that if we had to, we would look at maybe selling some buses to generate some dollars and have to look at contracting services, which obviously is not a favorable thing to do in the district given that we own our buses at this time. Then as I move down the page to the second highlighted item, the $100,000 in red there, would be the potential cuts that we would have to make for next year. That would be on top of about $150,000 in cuts that we made going into this year. We are able to provide a very good education at this point in time, but if we needed to look at reducing our staff, our elementary class ratios would go up. We're at 1 to 18 right now. That would significantly increase to up into the mid-20s, those types of things. The last line that I have highlighted, last item, is new projected fund balance. If you follow that across the page, the first two columns, you'll see the history there. And the first two are hard figures from the year 2002 and 2003. After that, we enter into a projected mode. At the rate we're going right now, it looks like a long road to hoe to get out of the statutory operating debt without making significant cuts. with the $477,000 that we have in our capital fund, if we were to shift $200,000 to our operating fund, we would still have a balance of $277,000 in our capital account to take care of some roof repairs and continue to purchase textbooks and those types of things that we are able to do out of our capital account. Basically, the other spreadsheet with the $200,000 fund transfer, everything is the same, except obviously the cells will change with the figures because there are formulas in each cell. But by moving the $200,000 into the general fund, as you follow the line across with the new projected fund balance, you can see that at the end of 2005, we would have a significant change. Now, that is penciled in there with the fact that we would have cut. So the $303,644 would actually be $103, but we would be out of statutory debt. And then we could operate on a level that I would like to categorize as a zero fund balance, where we could at least operate with the dollars that are given to us from federal and state resources without having, and our cuts would be based on what we would receive there, and not having to go into the business of making money as a school district and continue to work for the children.
Superintendent, you've got, I notice on your pupil loss column on the far right, you've lost 18 in 04, 15 in 05, but you project no loss in 06, 07. Why is that?
Madam Chair, according to our projected enrollments, our enrollment does level out the year 2006 and 2007.
That you have as many kindergarten kids as you have high school?
Yes, actually this year, or potentially for this year, we have 38 kindergarten students that we will be going through our kindergarten roundup with, and we have a number less than that we'll be graduating this year. So some of these projections, we maybe hit those a little bit harder than need be, but we wanted to be conservative to make sure that we were well in the ballpark. For this year, as an example, we have projected a 18-student loss, and that came to be. That's right where we're at in that range right now, 16 to 18. We suspect 15 for next year, and that may be closer to 12. But then after that, things do level off at least for 3 to 4 years, and, of course, our birth count is just coming in for this year.
Okay. How many buildings do you have, and how old are they, and what condition are they in?
We have two buildings. We have pre-K, 6 in the community of Stewart, and we have a 712 building to our high school and junior high in Broughton. Our buildings range in age from the 1920s to the 1960s, and they are very typical of rural Minnesota schools, where they were built with one construction and pieces added onto them. We have several pieces that are constructed in the 1930s and a couple in the early 60s. The condition, we have one piece of the high school, a 1922 addition, that it shows that it was built in 1922. We use it right now. We have about three-fourths of that building being used as classroom space. It does need some roof repair, and we are giving that attention. We did do, as an example, a roof review a year ago, and we have two or three roofs that will need to be replaced at a cost of about $10,000 apiece. So if we were able to, if we did need to do this, and we could do this in the next 2 to 3 years, there would still be enough money in our capital account to do that. So our buildings are in what I would call fair to good condition, with some of them being in not favorable condition, some pieces of the older part.
Okay. Before we move on to other questions in the committee, I want to recognize the Leadership Institute of Greater Mankato. Are you all back there? Welcome. We're talking about some fund transfer issues for school districts. They have a capital account, and they have to come before the committee to request transfers from a capital account into their general fund undesignated account for other expenditures. We have a district here that's in statutory operating debt. They have excess capital funds in their capital reserve account and are requesting a transfer to help them get out of statutory operating debt. So this is kind of what we do, aside from talking about some of the bigger policy issues. Also, we have some folks here in blue shirts. Are you with a special group that we want to recognize, too, back here in this last row? Yes? Are they?
Yeah, these are members of the Emerging Leaders of the Red River Valley, so including a couple from my district, from Manoman, and from all over the Northwest.
Great. Well, welcome to the committee. We're glad to have you today, too. Are there any other questions from the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Superintendent. Has your board adopted a formal maintenance plan, maintenance schedule for your capital needs?
Superintendent?
Yes, we have. We right now are looking at about a five-year plan on our capital needs. One of the primary things that we looked at in our capital needs was to upgrade our textbooks in the elementary, and that's our priority will be established for next year. After that, we will move into some roof repairs. We'll look at technical equipment, and we have a right now the plan has not been officially adopted by the board because I have been directed within my tenure, which is just a year and a half now, to get that going, and I have a plan ready to present probably at the end of this year, but in that we have discussed it, and those are the items, a lot of them that will be on there.
Any other questions? All right, if not, House File 1693 is before our committee for consideration for the K-12 omnibus bill. That concludes our bills for the day. We need to do our minutes. Representative Slawik, would you like to move the minutes of February 10th? Are there any additions or corrections? If not, all in favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposition? The minutes of February 10th are approved. This meeting is adjourned.